Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Got an exciting week this week. Just lobbing that out there. I hope that you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. And I hope that you had a very safe and a very happy St. Patrick's Day on Monday. Yeah, that's kind of rough, wasn't it? Like, we want our St. Patrick's on a weekend, close to a weekend, not on a Monday. But I mean, St. Patrick's Day, the day where everyone for a day is Irish. And you know, we Irish, we don't really care about any of that cultural appropriation garbage. You want to be Irish, come be Irish. You want to wear silly green shirts and hats and bright flaming red wigs, go ahead, let's have a pint. All are welcome. We are okay with that, actually, because at the end of the day, alcohol was created so the Irish could never take over the world. We've made our peace with it, honestly. But I hope those green beers are not coming back to haunt you today. Hope you've recovered. Hope you are feeling better. And right now, we need to address something that is very serious, because March Madness begins this week. We have 16 games tomorrow. We have 16 games on Friday. We have 8 games on Saturday and 8 games on Sunday. Here's the big question I have for you this week. How are you going to get out of work? Well, as usual, the Daily Dose is here to help. So I have a few excuses that you can use to get yourself freed up from work so that you can enjoy all the festivities of March Madness. It truly is one of the most wonderful times of the year, and I will give you the top excuse to go with. Here is the one to go with right now. Go with the classic family emergency. Here's the thing about family emergency. It is vague enough that you don't really have to provide any more details. And yet, when you say family emergency, it is also sensitive enough that they probably won't press you for more information. You won't have to show proof of anything. You won't have to show a doctor's note. And the biggest key with family emergency, you can easily roll it into a second date on Friday by saying, hey, I think I've got things under control, just trying to wrap a few things up on Friday, but I'll be back on Monday. So I'm telling you right now, you want to get clear for March Madness. You want to get out of work. Family emergency is the best excuse. Now, maybe you work from home. Maybe you don't actually go into the office. That's a little tougher. But you can go with the old, my internet is down excuse. However, I warn you, be careful of this, because you might have to roll that into, it turns out it wasn't my internet, I had to go get a new router kind of thing. Here's one more little hint that can help you in this situation. If you do try this one, try to pepper this little gem into the conversation. I'm so mad. I got to go get this new router. I'm not even going to be able to keep up with March Madness. It's so frustrating. See, that might give you a little more credibility. Now, of course, if you've planned ahead, if you've thought ahead, you can just use your own PTO. But I mean, let's be honest. We want to use our PTO to actually do something, go somewhere, go on a vacation or whatever. You don't always want to use it just to stay home and watch hoop all day. Like, you want to just kind of get out of work. Finally, and I hate to lob this one out there, I really do, but you can call in sick. A little more free advice. Going with a headache or cold symptoms, yeah, that could get your employer asking for a doctor's note. You don't want to do that. That's not going to be good for anyone. Here is my hint, and I know it's disgusting. Just go with diarrhea. Because you shouldn't need a doctor's note for diarrhea. I mean, you could even say, hey, I ate a Taco Bell. I don't know if I got a little touch of something, what's going on, but I've been miserable. Then you can enjoy March Madness without your job getting in the way. Now, one more word of the wise. Do not use that excuse, and then while staying home to watch March Madness, actually go get Taco Bell to eat while you watch, or you might actually end up with the diarrhea you claimed you had, and it would be kind of karma, but you'd have to use that excuse again. And then you're getting into dangerous territory, and I'm just warning you, stay safe, kids. Hey, make sure you do go over to ESPN and join their men's tournament challenge. From there, search for the group Daily Dose Sports Podcast and join it. It is free. Make your picks. Follow along on the podcast each week. I will be updating how our standings are going and letting you know how you are doing. And when the tournament ends, we will announce the winner. And if you are listening and you did win, we will be sending you a Daily Dose t-shirt for playing along and finishing on top, not to mention all the bragging rights that you get. You can find links to the bracket on our website at dailydosesports.com, as well as links to the podcast, links to videos, and links to Daily Dose gear. If you didn't get a t-shirt, if you're not going to win a t-shirt, if your bracket crashes and burns, you can just go order one. You can order a hat, you can order a hoodie, you can order a sweatshirt. Get whatever it is that you want and get it in whatever color that you want. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be getting you ready for March Madness. We are going to be discussing the brackets, a few teams we like, a few games we like, a few teams we don't like, and a couple of things for you to keep in mind. Also, going to have something a little bit different for you. Been doing this the last few years, but we are going to have a throwback Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. If you are looking for some free, insightful bracket advice, never fear. We've got you covered. Today will be a very March Madness heavy episode of the Daily Dose. Okay, so let's jump right in. So the 2025 NCAA tournament brackets were released on Sunday, and right up front, we saw a few wild things, didn't we? The first thing that stood out to me was that there are 14 SEC teams in the field. 14? That is a ton. That is dominance we have not seen before. Auburn and Florida are one seeds. Alabama and Tennessee are two seeds. Kentucky's a three. Texas A&M is a four. Ole Miss and Missouri are sixes. Mississippi State is an eight. Oklahoma and Georgia are nines. Arkansas and Vandy are tens. Texas is an 11. In fact, the SEC's number of teams in this tournament breaks the conference record that the Big East set back in 2011 when it got 11 of 16 teams into the field. Now the SEC gets 14. Now, for the record, back in 2011, just one Big East team made it to the Final Four. That was Connecticut. But they did go on to win the national championship. Can the SEC live up to that standard? I don't know. It kind of feels like they need to get at least two teams into the Final Four, don't they? And yeah, they probably need to compete for a title. It's a lot of teams. The next thing that stood out to me, how in the world did North Carolina get in? The Tar Heels went 22-13. They were 1-12 versus quad one teams. And then the committee said, well, we rewarded them for playing those quad one teams. Why do you give them credit if they lost? And don't tell me about their record versus quad two and quad three teams, because none of those teams are tournament teams. I don't care. Meanwhile, everyone's talking about Indiana not getting in, but I look at West Virginia, who went 19-13, went 6-10 against quad one, and I don't understand why they're out. And I will give a nod to Indiana, who also went 19-13, and they were 4-13 against quad one. Now, like I said, I know what the committee said. They said they rewarded UNC for that tough schedule, but they lost all those tough games. Both West Virginia and Indiana actually had more tough games and actually won a few of them. Oh, but remember what I said last week. The committee tells us they don't look at the name on the line. And here is further proof that they are just huge liars.
Those liars!
Okay, so one of the biggest things that I'm hearing this year is how top-heavy the tournament is. Hey, those top seeds have looked so strong most of the year, and three of four of them, of the number one seeds, actually won their conference tournaments. So yeah, they have looked good. But that doesn't mean they're unbeatable. I want to take a quick look at each of the top four seeds, and I want to take a look at both the good and the bad. Of course, the Auburn Tigers are the number one overall seed of the tournament, and they deserve it. I've heard some grumbling, maybe they didn't, but Auburn beat six KenPom top 15 teams. Hey, that's a highly impressive resume. And Auburn can dominate at both ends of the floor. Big man Jahni Broome has been amazing this year, averaging almost 19 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, almost three blocks a game. Hey, he's in there for player of the year. But it's not just him. The Tigers have guards, and they are deep. They could play 8-10 players if needed. They can shoot it from outside. They shoot nearly 37% from three-point range as a team. Now, that is the good news. Here's the bad news. The Tigers have stumbled a bit down the stretch. They lost three of their final four games and allowed an average of 82 points per game in those losses. Add into that equation the fact that head coach Bruce Pearl can't seem to get the Tigers past the second round. They keep falling in the second round. So Auburn is a top team, but they are beatable. Next up, the Duke Blue Devils are the second number one seed in the bracket, and this team is good enough to win it all. Superstar freshman Cooper Flagg is going to be the player of the year. Head coach John Shire is actually completely overachieving so far. Hey, we all expected Duke to take a big step back after Mike Krzyzewski retired. That hasn't been the case. I mean, Duke went to the Sweet 16 in Shire's first year. They went to the Elite Eight last year. So I guess they're due to go to at least a Final Four now, aren't they? Because this team is better. And despite losing Flagg to that sprained ankle, the Blue Devils went on to win the ACC tournament without him. So it isn't just a one-man team. Now, they are expecting him to be back this week. We'll see how good he is. But with Flagg in the lineup, Duke can hang with anyone. Here's the bad news. The Atlantic Coast Conference this year is awful. The ACC was given four teams in the tournament. They didn't deserve four. They deserve three. But I mean, when you think about four, that's the same number as the Mountain West got in. And if we're being honest, the ACC isn't as strong as the Mountain West top to bottom. Could the lack of quality teams in the ACC come back to bite Duke? Yeah, it could. We'll see if it will. The Houston Cougars are the third number one seed, and in the past five seasons under head coach Kelvin Sampson, the program has made it as far as the Final Four, the Elite Eight, and the Sweet 16. Hey, they're playing really good. The Cougars have been excellent defensively every year since Sampson took over, but this is the best offensive group that Sampson has ever coached. I mean, this team can score. They are a top 10 team in offensive efficiency, which is vastly improved. Houston finished 19-1 in the Big 12. They haven't lost a game since February 1st. Having said that, Houston can be beaten. Bizarrely, they're not a great rebounding team. And at times, they pressure so hard that they foul too much. Hey, great pressure without fouling is the key to great defense. Sometimes Houston fouls a little too much. They also like to slow the tempo down and kind of beat you up physically. But if Houston fell behind, could they come back with that style? Or could you get them into a tempo game that they might struggle with? If so, Houston can be beaten. Finally, we finish off our look at the four number one seeds with what might be the most impressive of them all based on the last few weeks, and that is the Florida Gators, who cruise to the SEC tournament by an average of 15 points per game. Yeah, they were just pounding people. The Gators have one of the top point guards in the country in Walter Clayton Jr. and one of the best front courts in the country. And again, this is another really deep team. Florida can beat you in so many ways. They are one of the top rebounding teams in the country at both ends. They average 85 points per game. Hey, Florida can score at will. The Gators are capable of going all the way. Yet, there are times they get real sloppy on defense. And keep this in mind. Head coach Todd Golden is exactly 0-2 in his career in the NCAA tournament. Now, I realize he's never had a team this good. But you look at Florida's side of the bracket, Golden is going to see some good coaches. He could see Dan Hurley or Porter Moser or Bill Self or Rick Pitino. Can Golden do something we really haven't seen since like Steve Fisher at Michigan? Winning games he's never won before? It's not going to be easy. Okay, so there are going to be 32 games on Thursday and Friday. Hopefully, you're going to be watching every single one of them without missing any of them. But what if you do have to miss something? What if you've got something scheduled? What if you've got work? Well, here are the best games of the first round that I would say you shouldn't miss. And I'm not going to say any second round games. I'm not going to predict those because I'm just guessing. But here are the games that I would say are must-see TV. And I hate to give you this bad news, but the very first game of the tournament should really be fun because at 10:15 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, Thursday morning, we get number 8 Louisville versus number 9 Creighton. Now, Louisville has been solid at both ends of the floor under new head coach Pat Kelsey, but the Cardinals haven't beaten any good teams. I mean, most of their record has been padded against average competition. So we're not really sure how Louisville will be. Meanwhile, Creighton is always tough. They play for head coach Greg McDermott, and they have one of the best defensive players in the country in Ryan Kalkbrenner. This game should go to the wire, Creighton versus Louisville in the very first one out. The other game I would say on Thursday that could be really interesting is at 5:10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time when number 10 Arkansas faces number 7 Kansas. We've got John Calipari versus Bill Self. And I know the Jayhawks are not their usual selves, but they have talent. Meanwhile, remember, Calipari left Kentucky for Arkansas and the promise of big NIL money, and he got it. But a lot of it has been injured. This game is going to be interesting for one other reason. The winner will most likely have to face Rick Pitino and St. John's next. Hey, if we get John Calipari versus Rick Pitino, those two aren't exactly besties. That might even make it more fun to me. I want to see how this game goes. I'm going to be very, very interested in this one. We move to Friday, and I know you're going to hear this, and you're going to think, hey, it's a homer pick. I understand. But at noon on Friday, Mountain Standard Time, number 12 Colorado State will face number 5 Memphis. Now, we know the 12-5 matchups are almost always interesting. But this one is kind of crazy because Vegas right now has actually made CSU a small favorite. Why? Well, Memphis is 29-5 under head coach Penny Hardaway. But star guard Tyrese Hunter is currently in a boot. We're not sure if he's even going to play. Meanwhile, CSU might be a little better than a 12 seed. They have a legit NBA hopeful in Neat Clifford. Hey, this is going to be a 5-12 you're not going to want to miss. We finish off our games you want to make sure you watch on Friday, 5:25 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, where number 10 New Mexico will face number 7 Marquette. Now, Marquette, as usual, under Shaka Smart, is a tenacious defensive team. They're highly efficient on offense, but as I told you last week, sometimes they struggle to rebound. And when they do, they get beat, like they did against UConn and against St. John's late in the year. Well, they will be facing Rick Pitino's son, Rich Pitino, who led the New Mexico Lobos to their first regular season conference title since 2013 and their first NCAA tournament appearance in a decade. Hey, this Lobos team is also very nasty on defense. This game, New Mexico versus Marquette, it might be a rock fight. It may be really low scoring, and for that reason, it should be very, very tight all the way. Now, in March Madness, we don't always know the players in this era of college basketball, but there are a few coaches that seem to have their teams ready in the tournament every year, and I'll give you two. And I'm not saying necessarily pick these teams, but hey, their coaches, they get things done. And first up, I got to give it to St. John's Rick Pitino. Yes, he feels greasy. No, I don't want to eat pasta with him at an Italian restaurant. But Rick Pitino has now led 6 different teams to the NCAA tournament. That is the most by any head coach all time. Pitino is currently doing something no one thought was possible. He led St. John's back to prominence. They're a number 2 seed. Keep an eye on them. I'll give you one more 2 seed, and that is Tom Izzo at Michigan State. You know Izzo is going to have his team playing tough, physical basketball. They're going to rebound. No, the offense won't be pretty, but for that reason, Michigan State could be a pain. And then we go to the other side of the spectrum. Who are the coaches I don't trust? Hey, I really like Tennessee. They're tough. They're scrappy. They got really good guards. but I don't always trust their head coach, Rick Barnes. He seems like a nice man. He really does. But 28 tournaments in his career, 38 years he's been coaching. One Final Four? It's not great. And sorry, I know he has won a title. He's won everywhere he's gone. But I don't trust John Calipari at Arkansas. He feels like an AAU coach that beats you as long as his players are far and away better than yours. Oh, but if it's close, and if you might be a little bit better than him, yeah, he's not going to coach his kids up. I fully expect John Calipari at some point in this tournament to show his true self and probably get outcoached, because that's just how he is. Be careful of picking those two teams. Hey, coming back, I'm going to be playing a throwback edition of the Daily Dose Top 5. It's going to sound a little different. It's not going to sound quite as clean and polished as they do a little bit more so these days, but it is from clear back in the early days of the podcast. This top five was from March of 2016. Trust me on this though. You don't want to miss it, as it is counting down the top five mistakes that people make when they fill out their March Madness bracket. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. It's a couple different ways I thought about going this week. I wanted to kind of talk about, March Madness, obviously. And over the next few weeks, I think we'll be doing a few March Madness Top 5s, just because this time of season is just so much fun. But, everyone fills out a March Madness bracket. And there are a number of different ways you can fill out your bracket. There's a million different ways. There's a million different scenarios that you can use to fill out your bracket. I've seen people do a coin flip on every single pick. Yeah, this pick, coin flip, this pick. The problem with that, you end up with like a couple 16s in your final four, and it ends up being a big mess. I see teams or people pick their teams based on the mascot. Who would win? A Wolverine or a Bulldog? Well, the Wolverine would probably win. Okay, then I'm going with that. Now, there are those out there that are just guessing, and the person in your office pool, and they're just going to throw down some names. They have no idea. Then there are those, you're a little more serious, like you want to try to do well. You love the game, and you love March Madness, and you want to try to actually win your bracket. You're kind of looking for an advantage in filling out your bracket. Well, here's the thing to keep in mind. Most people make the same mistake again and again and again when they fill out their March Madness brackets. There are a few mistakes that you have to be sure not to make. And if you make those mistakes, I'm telling you right now, they're going to cost you. They're going to hurt you as you go through. So if you want to improve your March Madness bracket, here are the top five mistakes most people make when they fill out their bracket. A couple things you might want to avoid. If you're filling one out, you might want to try to avoid these mistakes. Number five, picking against teams that don't belong. So when you think about that this year, I know there's a lot of controversy. Doesn't it seem like every single year that kind of seems to be the cool thing to talk about now? If you head over to our website, dailydosesports.com, I wrote an article just about how we always are complaining about the teams, that get into March Madness. There's always a team that was left out. There's always a team that shouldn't have got in. There's always a team that, they really had the record and for whatever reason, the committee did. It's a tough job. You're trying to get 68 teams seated. If you come up 69 or 70, I'm sorry. I wish Monmouth would have got in. I'll be honest with you. I wish St. Bonaventure's would have got in. I won't lie. I think St. Mary's probably deserved to get in. But if you can't do it over the course of 35 games, then I guess that's just how it goes. But what we do when we start picking our bracket is you start looking at teams like Syracuse this year. Should Syracuse have really gotten in? They had some really bad losses. Yes, they had a couple good wins. They had some really bad losses. Tulsa looked horrible. I don't know anyone who had Tulsa in. Tulsa didn't have Tulsa in. Maybe even Michigan, who was, kind of at the bottom level of that Big Ten, just above the horrible teams. But here's the thing. It seems like every single season we get a team or two like that we say, well, they probably shouldn't have even got in. And all week they hear about how they shouldn't have got in, and they have a great focused week of practice, and they say, whatever happens, we're winning a game in March Madness. And everybody picks against him. And not only do they come out and they win, sometimes they win two games. And everybody picked against them because they say, well, they don't belong in to begin with. Here's another thing to keep in mind. Those play-in games, we saw Wichita State Vandy last night. We saw Florida Gulf Coast beat Farley Dickinson last night. They give you just a little bit of momentum. So you might say, well, they played in the play-in game. I mean, they're so bad they had to play in the play-in game. Yeah, and they got a little bit of momentum. And when they come out in that next game against a better opponent, they don't have the nerves. They don't have, you know, the hyperventilation that you can sometimes get early in a big game. They've already won one tournament game. And sometimes there's a little bit of an advantage. Be careful about picking against those teams that we think don't belong. It always seems like they find a way to get a win and surprise everybody. Number four on our list of mistakes that people make when they fill out their bracket. Do you have a number four or number five seed winning it all? Because I'm telling you right now, it doesn't happen very often. In fact, in 77 years, it's happened once. The Arizona Wildcats were a number four seed when they won it all in 1997. Remember that group? With Bibby and Miles Simon. They were a number four seed. That's it. So here's the reason I tell you that. Because if you have Cal, if you have Maryland, Duke, Baylor, Kentucky, even Indiana, and I really like Indiana sitting there at the five, Iowa State or Purdue, the odds are, let's just say, not forever in your favor. Because four and five seeds do not usually get through. They end up having to play ones and ones and ones the further into the bracket they get. And so a four or five seed doesn't usually win it. Again, 76 out of 77 times, they haven't won it. Be careful of picking a four or five seed to win it all. Number three on our list of mistakes you might make. Hey, don't pick all four number ones. I know it's easy to sit there and just say, well, let's just pick all the number one seeds. Let's just go, let's see, this year we've got Kansas, we've got Oregon, we've got Virginia, and we've got North Carolina. There's my picks. I'll win because there's all the top teams. Again, it's only happened once that all four seeds that were ranked number one, all the number ones got all the way through to the Final Four. And that was just in 2008. So if you have Kansas, Carolina, Oregon, and Virginia as your Final Four, you're kind of tempting fate. I don't know that that's going to happen. The odds say it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen very often. Be careful. Don't pick all number ones on your bracket there. It's going to get you in some trouble. Number two on our five mistakes that people make when they fill out their bracket. This is a tough one. And I'm telling you this personally. This is a tough one for me personally. Picking with your heart, not your head. Now, you know you get in a bracket, and maybe you're in the office pool, or maybe it's just with your buddies, and that you go through, and you're like, he's like a big Miami fan. Oh yeah, he's got Miami winning the whole thing. Oh, of course he does. Yeah, as dangerous as that is, and it is dangerous to just sit there and say, well, my favorite team is blah. So I mean, that's who I'm picking, and it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? I've watched them this year, and they're really really good. Oh, I know. Oh, I know they are. Yeah, they're tremendous. I know Farley Dickinson is the greatest team you've ever seen. I get it. You went there. You're a fan of the team. Whatever. Be careful picking with your heart over your head. But here's the other side. It's not just picking the team you like. As easy as that is to do. Are you familiar with what's the German word? Schadenfreude, I think, is what it is. You know, taking pleasure in others' misfortune. I don't know that we really have a word for that in the English language. But here's the thing to keep in mind. The fact that you hate Kansas doesn't mean they're going to lose to Austin Peay in the first round. You see what I'm saying? It's not just the teams that you like. Sometimes we sit there and we say, well, I hate Kentucky, so I think Kentucky's going to get upset. Well, great, but are they really going to get upset? Is Kansas really going to lose to Austin Peay? Probably not. 1 versus 16? Yeah, probably not. Governors, I don't think they have enough. By the way, another quick story. Austin Peay down in Texas might have in the history of college basketball the greatest cheer that I've ever heard. You know, back in the day, back in the 70s, there was a playground legend named James Fly Williams. His nickname was Fly Williams, and dude was a playground legend back in New York. I mean, he was a stud. He ended up signing and going to Austin Peay down in Texas. And the cheer that they would do for him was, "The fly is open. Let's go pee." Number one on our list, the top five mistakes that most people make when they fill out their March Madness bracket. I hate to say this because we do. We get our bracket, we get it on Sunday night, and we look at it, and we hear the experts talk, and we talk about it, and we think about it, and we write down, and we scratch that out, and we fill out it again, and we look, and she said that they have a really good rebounding team, and that's going to really be it. Hey, don't take too long. There are no algebraic formulas on this thing. Sometimes it's just a little bit of luck. You know, most of the winners, and I've done okay in some March Madness brackets that I've done, but most of the winners that fill out these March Madness brackets, do you know what they all say? Yeah, I did it in like 5 minutes. I didn't really know what I was doing. That's the thing. Don't overanalyze it. Don't sit there and just, I don't know, I got to pick a 5 or a 12, and I'm not really sure. I did this one, and I scratched it out, and I redid it, and hey, first instinct, pick it, put it down. That's probably the best instinct, because at the end of the day, when you're talking about March Madness, it comes down to just a little bit of luck. You got to be a little bit good, and you got to be a little bit lucky. And it's kind of the same way when you fill out your March Madness bracket. Hey, next week on The Dose, I've got something extra special for you, as we will be keeping you in the spirit of March Madness. It's going to be a little different, but I think you'll enjoy it. So make sure you check it out, and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy March Madness.
Those liars!